Greetings, it's Dr. Burnett, publishing pusher, the all-in-body place of encouragement, cultural empowerment. Weekly, she'll engage conversations with entrepreneurs and creatives. And these insightful interviews are designed to help us build our businesses, respective brands, ourselves, and to hopefully propel us to that next level of greatness. Big Boss. So with no time to waste time, it's officially go time.
Hey everyone, Dr. Annette, publishing pusher. Thank you so much for joining us today. As always, we have a great person that I would like to introduce to you. And today I have with me Miss Beautiful Stephanie Awin. Good. How are you, Stephanie?
Dr. Annette, thank you so much for having me on. I'm super excited to see that you have your podcast. I'm doing well. All is well. Today is a great day. And so I'm just super excited to be here.
Yes, thank you. Yes, so for you and for those that are tuning in, this podcast started, I think, back in 2016, 17, something like that. And we did 3 seasons. And then it was a step back. Because sometimes we need to step back, reprocess, and God might be trying to push us to some other things in that window. And finally, Stephanie, tell us, let's not talk about the book yet, but let's talk about you, the person.
Okay.
And what would you like for us to know about you?
Great. That's a great question. Thank you so much. Well, I'll just introduce myself again. I'm Stephanie Awin. I am an author. I'm also a philanthropist, and I also serve as the president of the Stephanie Awin Foundation. It's a nonprofit organization where our mission is to remove health and financial disparities in underserved African-American communities and other marginalized populations. Specifically those who are diagnosed with Crohn's disease and ulcerative colitis, which is a form of IBD, which is inflammatory bowel disease. And so a little bit about me, you know, I've always had a passion for writing. Writing was always my go-to, you know, just in life. As a little girl, I always wrote. I saw my dad journaled a lot. He doodled a lot. Like I always would see him, you know, writing. I'm like, what is he writing or what is he doing? And so what I learned is that when you have goals and you write them down, like things start to happen, right? And so I would watch my dad, he would write down things that he wanted in life and he would put pictures to the things that he would write down. And so at that time, you know, it's like in the 80s. So I'm not knowing that that's a vision board, right? That's what he's creating. And so he started writing and he wanted a library of books and he started creating, you know, ordering books for me. And I didn't know that what he was doing was like helping me, like teaching me for increasing my reading skills, one, which I hated reading. And then two, just teaching me how to, whatever it is that you want in life, you have to have a plan, and that plan has to be solid. So being that he was in the military, he was always on time. So he was always teaching me that, you know, if I tell you I'll be there at 4, be ready at 3:30. So I knew that early on. And so from that, I always prayed that God would always keep me in alignment, keep me organized, show me which direction, and not be all over the place. And that's how the birthing of Stephanie Awin became, especially with marketing. Marketing has always been something that I did naturally. It wasn't something that I had to overthink. It was just something that I was passionate about. Like I always had this, you know what? I'm not like other people. Like I don't want to be like other people. I want to stand out. And so our graphics, like, That's just what it stemmed from. It stemmed from me seeing my dad be in order. And even in scripture, it talks about that God is of order. Like there has to be an order. You can't do things halfway and expect different results. You got to do it the right way. And so everything that I touch, everything that I do, I pray that God blesses it and that it is in order. It may take me a little time because sometimes when you are creative, you know, we're so busy creating in our mind because we see something different, something that's way out of the ordinary. And so it take a little time sometimes, but that's just me. I love helping and serving. You know, serving is something that I didn't understand it when I was growing up, but as I got older, I understand like serving the underserved, right? That's people that just don't know. They don't know what they don't know. And so I just love being able to serve those who need help with whether it's marketing your book, your brand, or your business. I'm your girl.
And believer, she is. Stephanie, you talk about your battle, your personal battle with Crohn's disease. Mm-hmm. Tell us what Crohn's disease is.
So Crohn's disease is a form of inflammatory bowel disease. Crohn's disease, it is chronic inflammation of your gastrointestinal tract. And that is, it's anywhere from your mouth to your bum, to your bottom, right? So from the top to the bottom. And so you're either malnourished, you're vomiting, diarrhea, blood in your stool. You'll see those type of symptoms from Crohn's disease. Also, Crohn's disease can also emulate ulcerative colitis. You can have symptoms of ulcerative colitis, which is another form of inflammatory bowel disease. So you may have urgency to go to the bathroom a lot. Maybe you go to the bathroom, there's nothing there, but you look and you see there's blood in the stool. So that's a sign that you need to go see somebody, one. Two, just a lot of discomfort in your gut. And when your gut is really angry, you can't do anything. You can't even think about opening the windows in your house. You know, you can't even think about turning the switch on. You just want comfort. You want some relief. And so a lot of what I found, Dr. Annette, is that a lot of our community are suffering in silence. Mm. We have a lot of people with stomach issues in the Black and Brown communities who either they don't know where to start, where to go to get help, or where to, or they're too embarrassed. So maybe pride gets in the way, but they're suffering in silence, and they won't say anything because we, you know, some of us was taught to certain things you just don't talk about. So that's, we have to get out of that Egypt mentality. And we have to ask for help. And even in scripture, it says you ask not, you have not, you know, so you have to ask for help and get the proper, going to the emergency room is not going to fix it. And so you have to get a primary care physician. Many of us don't have a primary care physician. We're just going to urgent cares and we're just going to the emergency room thinking that's a fix, and it's not. And so our goal, when I was diagnosed 6 years ago, there was no blueprint for me. There was no help for me. I had the doctor, but I didn't have a roadmap. So like if you're diagnosed with cancer, they have patient navigator mm-hmm. nurses that will navigate you through this process and through the healthcare system. Well, I had to just get it on my own. Like, okay, you're diagnosed with this. We're going to do the CT scan. We're going to do this test, this do labs. Okay, well, what's next? What is this? Like, I don't even know what this is, you know? And so having just the educational information of what is Crohn's disease, what is ulcerative colitis, and what is inflammatory bowel disease, that alone is what people need to understand. Just the basic foundation. So with anything, whether you're writing a book, you're diagnosed with a chronic illness, you got to have a foundation. And that foundation is understanding what this is, right? And so that's what Crohn's disease is in a nutshell.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing that. Because somebody may be listening and saying, oh, I've got some of those symptoms. Let me go check it out. You know, it's better to be proactive than reactive when it comes to our health.
Right. And, you know, for years, for months, years, I was in denial. I mean, people would see me and say, hey, Stephanie, girl, what you doing? You losing weight? You look good. And I'm like, huh? I had this like mask on, like, you know, because I didn't want to accept that there was something going on with my body. And my body was telling me, but I wasn't connecting the dots. I was like, oh, you know, because I suffered with constipation all my life. So mm-hmm. I thought that was just normal. If you see blood in your stool, like that was normal, you know? And then as I was going through this journey, God showed me this vision. It was like, you need to help somebody else.
Mm.
Once you get yourself together, I'm going to show you how to help other people not suffer in silence, because you don't have to do this. You didn't have to suffer in silence. I didn't know how to ask for help because I was taught to be independent, if you will. And sometimes being independent, it will cost you. Sometimes making decisions off of emotion will cost you some things. And so I had to really, really understand that we need community. You need community to heal. You need community to get where God needs you to be. I call them destiny helpers. You need destiny helpers to help you get down that path that God has for you. And so only God can do that. And if he give you the vision, he'll send the people. You just got to ask him for it. Like, show me where I need to go. What do I need to do? And so again, it's understand, coming to grips with, okay, I was diagnosed with this. What do I need to do? And how do I get there? You know, and so, and it's acceptance, right? And so I dealt with that a long time, accepting that I had it, you know? And so it's been a journey, to say the least.
So you mentioned that, you know, in your process going through this, that the Lord was like, well, you need to get it. You need to learn so that you can share with others. So how are you empowering others with this information?
So what we did was when I got the vision, my mom was like, you know what? We need to start a foundation. And we need to call it the Stephanie A. Wynn Foundation. And you need to educate people on everything that you're learning. You need to educate them, because God didn't give you this information for it to just stay in your brain. And so what we did was we established the Stephanie A. Wynn Foundation, which is a 501c3 nonprofit organization. Our goal is to help assist those who can't afford to pay for infusions, who can't afford to pay for their prescriptions. One of our programs is called the Health Equity Lunch and Learn Series, where we teach, it's a four cohort, where we teach the community about what IBD is, diet and IBD, mental health and wellness. Because before you can start the healing process, it starts with your mental health and wellness, right? And so we talk about advocating, advocating for yourself. How do you do that? What does that look like? And so we talk about health equity and health disparities, because these are terminologies that you'll hear, but a lot of our a lot of our community don't understand the terminology. And so that's where advocacy is so important in the IBD community, because a lot of people don't know how to advocate for themselves. And so that's where we've taken that Lunch and Learn series, and our goal is to expand it. Last year we kicked it off. It was our first one. Our goal was to impact 100 people. We reached 69 people. We wasn't that far off. And so that let us know that we got more work to do. Every year we have a health and wellness symposium where we bring in experts like gastroenterologists, IBD specialists, colon and rectal surgeons, mental health and wellness, people that can help answer your questions. And so what we do is we're very intentional about how we're impacting the community, because what I do know is that we have an issue with getting access to resources. And that's a challenge for the Black and Brown community. So we provided this symposium this year, we had health and wellness vendors in the building. So if you don't have health insurance, we have Florida Blue, we had Humana, we also had One of the challenges that IBD patients struggle with is hydration. So we had an Invigorate IV, which provides IV hydration, so that instead of you drinking regular water for us is not enough. So we need more electrolytes. So we had those vendors in the building. We also had TLS. They help with, you know, weight, your diet, how to actually keep this, how do you eat? You know, that's important, because that's the issue. One of the issues too, like, what do we eat? We're so used to eating ultra processed foods. We need to get more closer to the plant, right? Because God provided all of this on the earth for us to heal ourselves. So, and so we were very intentional about bringing in vendors and experts to our community, so that you can't say, well, somebody said I'm not qualified. No, we have the people in the building to give you the resource and give you the help that you need. And it's a safe space. It's a safe space for you to feel comfortable. So we have those two, the Lunch and Learn series, our annual symposium. And then we're kicking off our very first golf classic, where we're raising funds to expand our outreach programs. Mm-hmm. So where are
you located? Where you're having this at? Where is this going to be at?
So the golf tournament will be at, the golf classic will be at West Chase Golf Club in Tampa, Florida. So we're located in the Tampa Bay area. And so it's going to be good. If you play golf, join us. Dr. Annette, I'll send you the link for them to join. But we're super excited, because a lot of people, again, like I said, even our photographer at this symposium, he said, my wife has the same issue. She don't know what to do. She don't know where to go. And he was like, I called her. He's like, I went out in the hallway and called her and said, hey, you got to connect with this organization, because they have the people that you need. And so that's our goal, is to partner with GI doctors, Crohn's clinics around the state, you know, locally, regionally, nationally, and not just talk about awareness, but make impact. Mm-hmm. And to make impact, what does that look like? That's providing the people who need the resources.
Yes.
Get them a primary care physician. Get them the health insurance that they need. They may need a mental health and wellness counselor. They may need a nutritionist. And so we need to have these resources available to the community, so that they know that this is an option for them, you know, and they can start the healing process.
This is good, Stephanie. And I was, as you were talking, I was thinking about the fact that information is really good. But once you get it, if you can't really apply it because you don't have the financial resources and tap into the needed people, then there's a disconnect there. So when you talk about disconnect, how can, I know you're pulling in these experts. Are they offering services to people for free? Are you putting in for grants or anything? Are you looking for people to donate into what you are doing?
So yeah, so we're looking for people to donate. Our goal is to have like scholarships for people. So let's say they have to get a infusion. So I was there. So I know, I mean, sometimes those infusions out of pocket, maybe they have insurance, but they're underinsured, right? They want to go see a doctor, but the doctor is out of their network and it may cost like $1,000 to see this particular doctor. Well, our goal at the Stephanie A. Nguyen Foundation is to have this resource. So like a scholarship, if you will, to provide them with getting their infusion. We accept donations. We also accept sponsorships, partnerships. So that's our goal, is to partner with organizations, to partner or even with donors. If donors want to have reoccurring donations, we accept those as well. But what we've done is we've partnered with local community healthcare agencies who provide the primary care services. If for $20, so let's say it's $20 and they can't pay for the $20. They don't have the $20. Mm-hmm. Well, they'll still be seen because they have this sliding scale. And so we've partnered with local organizations like that. Our goal is to also partner with the Pinellas County Health Department as well, and the Hillsborough County Health Department, so that these people can at least establish with a doctor, get these diagnostic testing so that they can start the journey on the healing process. So yes, so our goal is to partner with local agencies so that, hey, if we're trying to bring about healing and or health and health wellness, right? We need to partner together and make sure that these people are getting the resources. And like you said, that's the disconnect, and that's the disparity, right? And so when we talk about, you know, a lot of times as Black people, the medications aren't working. And the reason why the medications aren't working for us is because we're not showing up for the clinical trials. Mm. We're not showing up because, and they're basing these medications off of European white male and females. So when it comes to us and we're going through all of these biologic medications and they're not working, the next step is a clinical trial to see if there's something that fits our DNA, that fits our body type, right? So, and that's where I see the disconnect as well. Like there aren't that a lot of us showing up for clinical trials. And a lot of that has to do, you know, with, you know, the Tuskegee, just trust, mm-hmm. You know, we have to build trust. And some of it is just that we communicating, understanding what the doctor is saying. A lot of us, I'm telling you, I was there when the lady said, oh, it's Crohn's. Which medication do you want? Do you want Lielda or do you want Humira? And I'm like, what is that? Like, what is, no pamphlet of anything. And so that's a disconnect too. That's a problem. And so that's where we come in. We want to eliminate that issue and provide, hey, here's a resource. Here's a support team that you can come to. And so we created the IBD Patient Navigator Program, where we bridge the gap between the doctor and the patient. So we help, we partner with the doctors, the providers, the GI doctors and the primary care. And we also partner with the patient if they don't understand what's being said in the room. So they'll have somebody there that can really help them break down what this doctor is saying. Because a lot of times doctors are speaking, they're high level with their terminology. And when you're dealing with a patient, you just got to keep it plain and simple. You just got to keep it plain and simple, because remember, the patient is not your peer. Mm. Patient is just a normal everyday person. Like, we don't understand that terminology, but you can break it down for us to understand. And so that's where we want to bridge that gap, where patients are understanding. Because again, I get people calling all the time, and my first question is, do you understand your diagnosis? And the first, and what they say is, I think I do. So to me, that means that it's somewhere, something wasn't made clear. And that's where the misdiagnosis come in, because now you have a person that, well, I really don't understand. I'm gonna go over here to this other doctor. And I'm gonna go, now you start jumping doctors because you don't really understand, when it should have been made clear the first time. And so that's our goal, is to get the help, the resources. You know, like I said, we could talk about information all day and the data, but the bottom line is we got to get the people the help that they need. And to do that, it's going to require, you know, funding. It's going to require us creating these programs for people to get the resources that they need.
Yeah, I think this is great, Stephanie. This is really great, because it's something that I was not familiar with until I heard you talking about it. And I think a lot of times there's a lot going on. There's so much going on that it's easily not to know. It's easy not to know, but at least once we hear it, then we can kind of tune in and gain some more insight on it. Yes. So I appreciate you sharing the wealth of information that you have today with us. And now I want to shift a little bit, because you are a business professional, an entrepreneur, kingdompreneur. You do marketing, you are book author, And I was sitting here as you were talking, I was like, okay, she's going to be writing a manual on this IBD.
It's already in the works.
It's in her to do it. And so this is a wonderful thing because the information is so important. I remember when I was younger, I learned a lot of things because I would go to the library and get books.
Yes.
So when we were stationed in Iceland, my husband was stationed in Iceland, and there wasn't really a lot of things to do. I would just say, okay, let's go to the library and get books, get several books and just take them home. So I learned so many different things by getting books about things I didn't know.
Yeah.
You know, subjects that I didn't know.
Right.
And it really gave me a wealth of information that I could pick and choose those things I wanted to learn more about and get more books that fit into those things. And eventually a lot of that information became knowledge to me through application and sharing it with other people. So this is good. And when you were talking about the golf cure classic that you're going to be doing, I was like, oh, I know some people that golf and they like to travel. Oh, I'm going to have to send this information. And I know some of them go to Florida for different golf things. So I was like, oh, I'm going to have to send that to them. Yes. I'm not a golfer. I don't know nothing about it. People say I can watch it and appreciate it.
Definitely. But, it's in our goal is really, it's going to be so amazing. It's going to be, you know, in the height of the summer, but it's going to be so amazing. It's
golfers don't care. Golfers know that they got to be out in the heat. So they use that. So that's not a problem, but we're going to make sure we pass that on. So in respect to you, Stephanie, being this author, let's talk about you as the author for a few minutes. You've written at least a couple of books that I am aware of.
Yes.
And they are, tell me, what was the first book that you wrote?
So the first book was Ready, Set, Go, Ready with an I. Ready, Set, Go, A Simple Guide to Establishing a Successful Small Business. That is our anyone that's starting a business, that's like a blueprint. That's like a roadmap, if you will. The reason why I started writing about business, helping businesses, because when I was 23, I started my very first ice cream shop here locally. I didn't have a blueprint. There was no roadmap. I just knew I had a passion for entrepreneurship, and it was a burning. It was like the only way I could describe it. It was like burning inside of my soul. Like it was, I wake up thinking about the ice cream shop. I go to bed thinking about the ice cream shop. I'm writing. This is what it's going to be called. I started researching. And so one of the things that, boosted me to writing this first book was people were asking me, how did you do that? What did you do? Mm-hmm. How did you start a business? What made you find your location? And how did you market? And who told you how to do that? And it was like, again, God has gifted me with just knowing, like back then, and that was in like the early 90s. And so late 90s, early 2000. And I would go, there was no social media at that time. And so what I would do is I would go I found a location and I would map out. I would do like guerrilla marketing. I would sit there, count the foot traffic. It was in a prime location, traffic passing by. There wasn't an ice cream shop within a 5-mile radius of where I wanted to put my store. So I really, when you talk about competition, in my mind, I've always said it's really, to me, it's not competition. It's just that they have their own brand. I have mine. They're doing well. I can do the same thing, but on a different scale. Right. And so what I learned was people were just asking, how did you do this? And what did you do? Who did you connect with? And during that time, there weren't LLCs didn't come on the scene until afterwards, like later on. And so I said, you know what? I need to write a book. So at the time, my corporate career was always financial services. So trading stocks, bonds, mutual funds. And so one of my coworkers at the time, Jeffrey White, he's the co-author on the first book. I was like, Jeff, I got to write this book. I need to write this book. And we need to get this out because people need this information. They need to know what a partnership is. They need to know what an LLC is. They need to know what a corporation is. They need the basic foundational tools so that they can be educated. And then not only that, I ask questions in this book, like, what is your attitude like? How do you work with people? Do you have people skills? Because if you're starting a business, you need these skills. And do you work well with others? And so it wasn't until I said, you know what, I need to talk about marketing. One of the things that we struggle with as business owners, whether you have a nonprofit, a for-profit, or a social enterprise, marketing is that's the last thing that we think about, because we're so busy doing other things. And marketing should be your number one thing. Like, how are you going to get this product to the market? And is it a need for this product, first of all? And so that's where it started. Like, and I was so hyped up about it. And then what I did was, going through this writing process with the book, I found that I didn't seek God for the publisher, right? I was so in a rush to, God, I need to get this book out. I just did it, right? I chose a publisher. It wasn't a good experience, but it was a good experience at the end, because I understood, like, you have to keep God in everything that you do. Everything from the title of your book to the how many pages of the book, content of the book, even the publisher that you're going to select. And so because I didn't have the time, like you said, so much is going on. You just want to pay for convenience, right? And that was my mindset. I'm going to pay for convenience, but not realizing that, yeah, you paying for convenience, but I didn't know I was going to have to pay. You're going to pay some money, right? You're going to pay a lot of money. And so again, I had to learn that what intellectual property meant. What does that mean? I had to learn that if you believe in your book, if you believe in this book, you got to believe in this book. You got to believe in it, because if you don't believe in it, how do you expect people to believe enough in it to buy it, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease during the time I was publishing my first book. And so I was like, you know what, God, I was laid off on my corporate job. They wouldn't allow me to work from home because, again, with IBD, you're in the bathroom 5 to 10 times a day. I couldn't be on the trading desk and running back and forth to the bathroom. And so they laid me off. And so from there, that's where God showed me this vision. And even with the book, and my dad came to me, I said, you know what, Dad, I just feel like giving up. He said, listen to me, you have a book that can teach people how to start their business. Take that book and you go get into Barnes and Noble. You get into these bookstores. You saturate the market. So when he said that, I looked at him, I'm like, what?
And you the marketing expert, come on now.
And I'm like, because my goal was always to be in Barnes and Noble. That was my goal. Even with publishing the book, I'm like, my goal is to be in Barnes and Noble. But I knew then it wasn't many Black authors in Barnes and Noble, or they didn't know how to get there, right? Especially indie authors, self-published authors, right? They didn't know how to get there. And so I was like, that's an issue. We put just as much work in as self-published authors as people with the publisher. That doesn't mean that you're less than or anything. And so God goes again. Okay, you're going to show them how to do, market their book, brand themselves as an author. You're going to show them everything that you went through. You got to show them. And so that's what birthed the second book. But the first book, I went on a nationwide book tour. So I went from the East Coast to Midwest, the West Coast. And I did that because all I was thinking is, I need to reach our communities who have businesses and they have a business, but they don't know where to go after they start the business. Right. And so, and that's why I did the book tour, not just to say, hey, I was in Barnes and Noble in Burbank, California, but just to say that, you know, this book really is, it will help you with building your foundation with your business, because you need the basic foundation. And I found that I've read a lot of business self-help books. I've been a lot of business trainings. And one of the things that I notice is that people need to take action right now. And a lot of people don't like to read. So give them something simplistic enough. That's why I say it's a simple guide, but it's that much more impactful to help you get your business started. And so I did that. And then so authors started coming to me. Hey, how are you? How did you get into Barnes & Noble? What did you do? And so God said, again, you got to show the people. You can't be selfish with the material. You got to show them. And so I ask God all the time, God, show me what I need to do with what I already have in my hand. And so he did that. And that's what birthed I published my book, Now What? A Simple Guide to Establishing a Successful Author Brand. And that was just, I keep my book simple because where you can take it with you, you can revert back to it if need be. You can put it in your purse, you can put it in your briefcase. So yeah.
So I want to tap into this book before we wind down.
Okay.
And it's called...
I Published My Book, Now What? A Simple Guide.
I Published My Book, Now What?
Yes.
You heard her say she wants to keep it. It's a nice little pocket book. Yes. It actually fits in your pocket, fits in your purse, fits in your little briefcase, in your little iPad cover, whatever. The subtitle is A Simple, listen to this, y'all, A Simple Guide to Establishing a Successful Author Brand. Mm-hmm. So I want you to tell us, because there's some good content in here. I keep this on my desk.
Okay.
But I want you to tell us the significance of this author brand, and at what point does the author need to be concerned with their branding? Is it before, during, after the book is published? Mm-hmm. And let's take just a couple of minutes and kind of tap into that.
So if you're planning on writing a book, you should start preparing for your author brand before you even start writing. Or even if you've written the book and is ready to go to the editor, you should be all over your author brand. Like, you should start educating people about what's to come. You should have some type of graphics. You should have and again, branding is not just about a logo. It's not just about colors. It's about how you communicate with your target audience. And remember, as an author, you have to have, for whatever book that you're writing, whether it's self-help, nonfiction, or fiction, you should have a target audience of people that you're targeting. Like, you have a community of people, and these are the people who are most likely to be interested in your book, right? Mm-hmm. Most likely interested in building your brand. So the key is building your brand, your personal brand as this author. So what colors do you like? Is it purple and white? Is it green and white? Is it red and white? Whatever colors you have, let's start there. That's the basic. I'm just giving you some basic tips. What are your colors? What are they going to be? And you got to be consistent with those colors. You should know those color codes, because when you hiring people to create your logos and your graphics, they should be using the same color content, same thing, so that it's consistent across the social media platforms that you're using. So the importance of this brand is so that when you publish the book, so you're going through the publishing process, when you reach out to bookstores or libraries to do book signings or do author appearances, right? Or speaking engagements, if you will, the first thing they're going to do is go to Google. So they're going to Google your name. They're going to see if, in fact, this is something that you actually do. Do you do this for? Is this something that you do? Because again, you got to keep in mind, these bookstores, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, all of these books, the retail bookstores, they get a ton of requests for author signings. And if nobody knows that you exist, nobody's buying into what you're selling, and nobody's going to buy your book. So starting with that brand is more than just the logo. It's how you're communicating. I'll tell everyone that's listening, if you're thinking about writing a book, or if you've written a book, So for those that have written a book and you didn't do any branding, you didn't do any marketing, it's okay to start now. Start now. What is your goal for the book? Is your goal to sell 100,000 copies? How are you going to do that? You got to have a plan. And so you have to have a plan of action before you start marketing. Because what we start doing, hey, my book is on Amazon, go purchase the book. No, you before you start doing that, start telling people, hey, I got a book coming. Here's what it's about. So maybe you'll do a 30-day marketing campaign on just talking about a topic. So I'll give you an example. In my book, I talk about marketing, book marketing. So maybe for 30 days, I'm going to talk about marketing your book. I'll drop 3 social media posts, 3 days a week. Every week for 30 days, that's 12 posts. And then as I'm launching, as I'm getting close to launch date, I'm going hard, 30 days. Every day, I'm dropping something about this book, some of the topics in the book, and a call to action on every time I drop something about this book. So you're educating them. So you're building that trust, like the no trust and connect factor, because you want them to be able to connect with you. You could do polls. You could ask questions. Like, we're getting ready to do a did you know campaign. So it's all about, because we're marketing for our IBD, Swinging for a Cure. So what we're doing is, hey, did you know that Crohn's disease is, did you know that 3 million people in the United States are diagnosed with inflammatory bowel disease? You know, so we're doing, did you know? So whatever your book is about, did you know that book marketing is a must?
Yes.
Before you start promoting any promotion campaigns, that's it's simple. It's just as simple as that. So you could do a did you know series and then so brand it to your colors, right? So
y'all hear her.
It's
she gets so much content to share.
Yes.
I would highly recommend, if you are thinking about writing your book, reach out to Stephanie Nguyen.
Yes.
To help you with your author branding, to help mm-hmm. you with your marketing plan yes. for your book.
Mm-hmm.
If you have something going on, a workshop or something, she yes. would be a great resource to invite in to yes. present on those topics as well. Yes. If anybody is dealing with IBD, as she talked about, or you're not even quite sure, but it may be, or
yeah.
you talk to someone else, reach out to Stephanie yes. Nguyen. Stephanie, mm-hmm. tell mm-hmm. us, what is your email address that people can reach out to you?
So they can go to, for author questions, it's info@StephanieAnguyen.com. And Nguyen is spelled with a Y. So it's info@Stephanie, StephanieAnie. A as in apple, W as in willow, Y as in yogurt, N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy.com. And yeah, again, you know, I just want to leave this with your audience, Dr. Annette, that you got to believe in what it is that you're doing. You know, you got to believe in yourself, because if you don't believe in yourself, nobody else will. And if you, once you believe in yourself, now you can position yourself as that author. You can position yourself. So I'm super excited. Thank you so much for having me, Dr. Annette.
You are very welcome. Thank you so much. This was a powerful, informative podcast today. And we will see each other, hear each other next week. But again, blessings to Stephanie for coming in and giving of her time today. And yes. we will catch you all next time. Bye-bye, everyone.
Bye.
Thank you, everyone, for listening to Dr. Annette's Chat Podcast, brought to you by John A. Publishing. Be sure to stay tuned in for future conversations and engagements. Check out the website, jotnatepublishing.org, and subscribe to this show on your preferred podcast app. Shout out to 95 for the production. Be blessed and be a blessing. Peace.